From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 28th day of March 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulow at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Ben Pruce will be here too. He's with the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. We'll talk about the cash grain market with him. Jim Angel is out of the office for the afternoon, but I'll have an update of the weather forecast along with some numbers that come to you from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And it all will happen right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find all our content online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For this Friday afternoon, the nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat, that'd be the May, at $6.95 and a half, was down 15. July at $6.99 and a quarter, 15 and a quarter lower. The hard red at $7.63 and a half, finished down 20 and a quarter cents. May corn futures at $4.92 unchanged. July at $4.96 and a quarter unchanged. In September, $4.91 and a quarter, down a quarter of a cent. December at $4.87 and a quarter, three quarters lower. And the May futures at $5 and a penny, unchanged in the corn pit. March contract, by the way, at $4.95 and a quarter of next year, down a half cent. May soybeans at $14.36 and a half, unchanged. July at $14.07 and three quarters of a cent higher. August soybeans $13.51 and a half, up four. September $12.47, a settlement price a penny and a half higher. In November beans, that's your harvest month, at $11.90 and a half, two and a quarter lower. January futures of next year at $11.95 and a half, down two and a quarter as well. Bean meal at $4.68.40, down 2.10. Bean oil, $40.48. That finished a nickel higher for the afternoon. Live cattle in the April at $146.50, up two and a half. June at $138.35, 17 and a half cents lower. In the August there at $135.7 and a half, down 35 cents. April feeders at $178.35, down $1.15. May feeder cattle at $179.50, 37 and a half lower. And the August at $181, 2.5, down 12 and a half cents. Lean hogs April contract up a dime at $125.50, 7 and a half. The May at $125.20. And that finished down 10 cents for this Friday afternoon. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's take a look at the outside markets at this hour. The nearby contract in the crude oil futures May at $101.59, 31 cents higher. RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.92 and 9 tenths of a cent, a penny and 3 tenths of a cent lower. And ethanol futures at $3.25 and 2 tenths, that's 23 and a half cents higher on the afternoon. Natural gas, or the spread rather, between the ethanol and the RBOB at 32 and 2 tenths of a cent to the downside. That's narrower than it ever has been, down 24 and 8 tenths of a cent, and would be in favor of not using ethanol for the first time. I've read those numbers since we started reporting them last August. Natural gas now at $4.48 and a half is 5 and 3 tenths of a cent lower, and diesel fuel at $2.95 and 3 tenths. That's up a half cent. Gold futures at $1,294.10, down 70 cents an ounce. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Should see cloudy skies, a high of 47 degrees on a northwest wind at about 6 miles an hour for the afternoon. Tonight, a chance of rainfall, some snow after 2 a.m. in the morning. Central time, of course, cloudy, a low of 34. Northeast winds at 7 to 11. Chance of precipitation set at 30%. And Saturday, a chance of rainfall, snow before 8 a.m., cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny, a high of 47 degrees on a north wind at 11 to 13. Chance of rainfall at 30%. Saturday night, clear and 29. Sunday, sunny skies and 61 degrees. East-southeast winds at 5 to 15 miles an hour and partly sunny, or partly cloudy, rather, on Sunday evening with a low of 42 degrees. Monday, sunny skies and 65, should be breezy. A great start to the work week. Monday night, partly cloudy and a low of 36. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us should be Mike Zuzulow at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Mike, are you with us this
morning? I am with you, Todd.
Oh, I was a little worried that I hit a button that wasn't quite right. So let's start with some numbers. And we're not going to take up, to begin with, the numbers that are due out on Monday, but a set that came out just a few minutes ago from USDA in Washington, D.C., the hogs and pigs were numbers. What did they show to you?
Well, if taken at face value, they were bearish enough, I think, Todd, that June low in the futures from Wednesday of about 123 even is probably in play. About every major category was bearish. All hogs and pigs came in at the top of the range of estimates at 97%. Breeding came in at 100%, top of range of estimates. And for markets, we saw 96% for marketings. Top of the range was 96.9. And I think probably most disturbing, most concerning to the trade as we come back Monday is the fact that the weight group breakdown by USDA and those numbers show very little signs of PED virus because they all came in, whether you're looking at under 50 pounds, 50 to 119, or 180 pounds and over, they all came in within the average trade guess. So no real signs whatsoever of PED virus. And I think this is going to be quite a disappointment to the trade since this was as of March 1.
Yeah, the trade will be disappointed, and I'm wondering what it might mean to the marketplace when we open up again, whether they will push the price of hogs sharply lower or not.
If they take it at face value, I think that's what I'm most afraid of. This week when we went lower was a technical move lower where we filled a gap in the weekly chart, and June I would expect futures to be the one hit the hardest, and that, like I said earlier, that Wednesday low of around 123 even, I think that's in play. And if we take that out on a closing basis, I would not be surprised for another $10 to $15 swing objective lower so that we're trading back into the low single digits like 107, 105 at the end of the week this week. Again, if these numbers are taken at face value, this report reminds me a lot of some corn reports 6-8 months ago when the trade was thinking one thing and USDA came out in the exact opposite direction.
You mentioned the June contract. It settled, of course, at 129.57.5, and you talked about the weekly. It was down just 75 cents. The April did not have near the volume in it, but it posted a double top. So
yes,
it was kind of an interesting week to week, one week and the next. So it's kind of interesting to look, and it'll be fun to watch. Will it be good for the commodity markets for corn and soybean meal on Monday?
It opens the upside up for meal. I think that's the bottom line. I mean, this is where the 475 resistance in May meal and the 1460 resistance in the lead month beans really have to be looked at if the reports on Monday are not outright bearish. And I think this is where, when you look at lead month beans, after 1460 to the upside, you don't have much standing in your way, and there's actually a weekly gap from July of last year sitting around 1534.5, and so this adds a bit of friendly tone to the report, where the market now can be saying to itself, instead of saying we need to feed the bull on the bean report and the stocks report on Monday, we kind of need to feed the bear because these numbers are that far, I think, out of whack from what the trade was expecting. Bigger feed utilization is really what it means.
Yeah, if we feed the bear, I suppose that would be the number of acres that would come in for prospective plantings for soybeans. Will it be as big as many think it's going to be?
Well, this is where the breakdown is very diverse. And, you know, you can talk about corn and bean acres total. It seems as though, Todd, there's a group of us that are around 172 to 173 million acres total, putting a little bit more into wheat. And there's another group that's out there at 174 plus to all the way up to almost 176 million total acres. If I broke it down between the two, I would say that with the average corn guess right around 92.7, you go above 93.5, that would be very bearish. If you go below 92, that would be, and especially 91, 91.5, that would be very bullish. And there are some numbers down there around 90.5. And so that's how I see the corn. The beans, right around 81 million is the average. I think very bearish would get you 82, 82.5 million. Very bullish would get you 80 or below. You know, 79.5 million acres, only 5 of 27 analysts came out with that number or lower, 79.5 or lower.
And so we are at that transition time in the marketing year where we move from old crop to new crop, or relatively speaking, depending on what the weather looks like. And the prospective plantings report would be the first of the new crop shots across the bow.
Right.
The old crop is still there, and we have to deal with the grain stocks on Monday as well.
I think especially for the beans. I mean, if we look at the beans over the last 3 months, what has helped keep the November beans up? I mean, we're talking about, you know, producers looking at anywhere from 78.5 million bean acres all the way up to 83.6 million acres. We, in my opinion, certainly have not traded anything close to 83.6 million. Why is that? Because of the old crop and because of the tight supply and the fact that there's about 80 million bushels of exports out there unaccounted for at this point, and we need to keep prices high enough to encourage imports to loosen up this increased meal demand if this hogs and pigs report is correct. So a lot is riding. I think there's a lot more riding in the bean market than the corn market when it comes to the grain stocks report, because the expectations are for a very friendly report in grain stocks. And if it doesn't come out very, very friendly and it's actually bearish and there's a lot of big acres for beans, and along with that the USDA doesn't fess up to strong, strong demand, then the market's going to say, wow, do we really need to be at this level in new crop futures?
Right. So let's talk about that just a little bit. So what would be a number that would be, I guess, bearish for the beans? Would something that came in, would 145, which currently is, 145 for the grain stocks carryout for soybeans, would that be bearish?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the poll on the grain stocks itself, and you've got a low trade number of 955 million bushels and an average of right around 990 million. My take would be you go below 970, and you're starting to open up the upside. In other words, that would get you, especially if you got closer to that 955 low trade guess, that would get you talking in the trade, I think, about a 120, 125 carryover when it's all said and done. That opens you up to that gap of another roughly dollar higher. That's kind of how I see it on that elasticity model and the grain stocks and how that would play out.
Yeah, let me be clear about where we were going with the numbers, because I think I gave a grain stock. I gave the ending stocks number,
yeah, sure,
for the grain stocks number.
Sure.
And the ending stocks, which is what you got to, which was 120. Right now it's 145 for soybeans. And then the quarterly grain stocks, there's kind of a range of what, 924 to 1.08 or something.
Yeah,
like
955
that
to 1.08, exactly. So it's a pretty wide, you know, pretty wide range. The closer you get to that 955, the more you assume, I think, in the trade that we are indeed closer to a 125 carryover. And therefore, and here's an interesting piece of the puzzle that we haven't talked about. China essentially acknowledged that they're going to do most of their cancellations from Brazil. So the pressure's off of us from a standpoint of cancellations if you take them at face value. What we're really now talking about is, can we get the imports up here from Brazil? That's what the market function is. And if they see a 125 carryover implied by these bean stocks numbers on Monday, they probably will try and shoot us up another 80 cents to fill that gap, and that encourages those imports even more.
Hey, finally, since you mentioned China, did you see the Wall Street Journal article this week about Chinese pork populations?
I did. Yeah, I did. In fact, I talked about it on one of the daily videos midweek. Yes, I sure did.
Yeah, so they have a very large inventory of pork on hand, apparently, which I suppose would be one of the reasons they might continue to import bean meal. But they've had a much tougher time. While we've been going really high with our pork prices, theirs have been tumbling since December.
In fact, just this afternoon, right after the close in the hogs, China did release on the Xinhua, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, on the news agency, talking about the state reserves are now going to start to be built up, and the Chinese state is going to actually start purchasing frozen pork for the reserves because of the drop in those live prices. Live prices down January through February 14%, pork prices down 10%. With the Lunar New Year, you should have seen them go up. So it's kind of extra bearish, extra negative when you see the prices fall when their demand should be about the best of the year.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joins us on this Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Now here's your Director of Agricultural Programming at Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey, with today's Agricultural News.
In agricultural news, the nation's dairy farmers and dairy companies yesterday expressed opposition to new legislation in Congress that would allow the interstate sales of raw milk, saying that any additional availability of the product will increase the number of sicknesses and deaths of people who consume it. The International Dairy Foods Association and the National Milk Producers Federation urged lawmakers to reject the Interstate Milk Freedom Act of 2014, a bill introduced by Representative Thomas Massey, a Republican from Kentucky, which would repeal a long-standing ban on the sales across state lines of unpasteurized milk. Federal law currently gives states the discretion to regulate raw milk within their borders. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development predicts today that financial markets may be facing periods of considerable turmoil as central banks and developed economies prepare to reverse these stimulus programs they put in place in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. In its annual report on government borrowing, the Paris-based research body said the agencies responsible for selling government bonds will have to cooperate closely with central banks to ensure that the exit from those programs is as smooth as possible. Meanwhile, U.S. Federal Reserve officials are moving slowly in discussions about how to manage the mechanics of interest rate increases once they decide to start tightening credit. The central bank says that it aims to keep its target for its benchmark federal funds rate in a range between 0 and 0.25%. That rate sits just below 0.1% most days. Most Fed officials believe the central bank will move rates higher sometime next year. China's National Development and Reform Commission says the PRC will continue to invest heavily in the agriculture sector to ensure food security, with $11.27 billion being allocated to water resource infrastructure in 2014. Altogether, China says that it intends to spend about $37 billion this year from the central budget in agriculture. The NDRC says it will improve levees for small and medium-sized rivers to improve protection against natural disasters. In 2013, China overhauled and reinforced 15,000 small-sized reservoirs. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Well, you know, every 3 months, the USDA updates its grain stocks report, and Monday that will happen. We'll have more about the supply of soybeans and how you might be able to forward figure that with ag economist Daryl Good in just a moment.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Grain stocks are updated quarterly by USDA. The report is a tally of the grains and oil seeds on hand in the United States for a specific date, December 1, March 1, June 1, and September 1. The report is surveyed at the beginning of the month, and the results are released at the end of the month. Well, the March 31st grain stocks report will tell us how many bushels of soybeans were left in the United States as we pass the halfway mark from last year's to this year's harvest. University of Illinois ag economist Earl Good says the number could be very important this year because of the rapid pace of soybean exports from the United States and the declining size of the South American soybean crop. It could mean a really tight supply at the end of the marketing year.
Anticipating the size of March 1 stocks starts with the USDA estimate of stocks held on December 1st, plus imports during the most recent quarter. An estimate of consumption during the quarter is subtracted from that total in order to estimate stocks as of March 1. Consumption occurs in three categories: exports, domestic crush, and domestic seed feed and residual use.
Let's start with the December 1st stocks estimate. It was estimated, stocks plus imports, at 2.156 billion bushels. That's the starting supply as of December 1st. Good says it looks like 719 million bushels of soybeans were exported between December 1st and March 1. The quarterly crush, or domestic usage of soybeans during that same time frame, could be about 486 million bushels. And now comes the wonky number, feed and residual usage. It ranges widely, but usually correlates with the first quarter usage. If the first quarter was big, the second quarter will be small. If it was small, again, it will follow suit and be big. It can even go negative. That could be the case this time around at negative 22 million bushels. Do the addition and subtraction, and the March 1 soybean stocks would be 973 million bushels.
However, an estimate that differs by as much as 25 million bushels in either direction probably should not be considered a surprise, given the historic variation in feed, seed, and residual use during the first half of the marketing year.
To make it easy, the projected soybean stocks could range from 950 to 1 billion bushels. The report is due 11 a.m. Monday, March 31st. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check in on the cash grain market now. Ben Pruce at the Andersons in Everly, Iowa, is on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Yeah, afternoon, Todd.
Well, we had rainfall here, but I think you may have had some snow. Is that right or wrong?
A little bit. You know, we actually had a nice steady rain there yesterday, as a matter of fact.
That make people feel a little better? I think you've been a little drier than some.
A little bit, yeah. You know, we've here in the last couple months, we've got some nice levels of snowfall. So, I mean, everybody feels pretty comfortable where we're at today.
The last several times we've talked to you, you've been concerned that there would be a continuing break in basis. How are we doing this week?
It continues to break. We are facing logistics issues as far as getting rail to the ethanol plants to get the ethanol out of northwest Iowa. And thus, they're backing off on their grind, and basis continues to fall apart here.
Oh, is that what's happening? So you can't get trains to get the ethanol out. Interesting.
Yeah.
That creates some serious problems. So how far under are you for corn now?
The ethanol plant, Hartley, that's 7 miles from our nearest facility, is 35 under today. and I fear it could get worse.
And beans?
Beans were posted at 50 under today, but we are seeing the end users start to kick in a little bit, trying to scrounge for some beans.
And I don't have much time, so how about just your numbers for the afternoon?
Sure. Yeah, we were 4.59 cash corn and 13.86 cash beans.
Hey, thanks so much, Ben.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Ben Pruce with the Andersons in Everly, Iowa, back in just 2 minutes.
It's Something on a Stick Day. The day celebrates all foods on a stick, from popsicles and fudgesicles to corn dogs, shrimp, lollipops, skewers, shish kebabs, fondue, and many Chinese treats. And let's not forget all those treats at state and county fairs. Fish sticks, anyone? On this day in agricultural history in 1797, the first U.S. patent for a washing machine was issued. It was called a scrub board or washboard. The hand-cranked washing machine drum came more than a half century later in 1851. The first electric washing machine, the Thor, was introduced in 1908 by the Hurley Machine Company of Chicago, Illinois. It featured a galvanized tub. In 1832, Henry Rowe Schoolcraft discovered the source of the Mississippi River in a lake in northern Minnesota, which he named Lake Itasca. Of course, the Mississippi today is the lifeblood of grain export trade. And in 1897, Victor Mills was born. He was a chemical engineer who worked for Procter & Gamble. He improved Duncan Hines' cake mixes by passing ingredients through large milling drums designed to polish aluminum foil, but made the finished cake less lumpy. He also figured out a way to prevent the oil from separating in Jif peanut butter, and he figured a way to cut down the production time on soap bars from 7 days to just a couple of hours. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason here. The way the settlement prices came in for the week, the nearby contract for the May went to high this week at $4.96 and a quarter. The low on all the trade at $4.78 and a half. Remember, that's for the entirety of the week. The settlement price Friday to Friday up 13 cents at $4.92 in the lead option May. December corn at $4.87 and a quarter finished 7 and a quarter cents higher Friday to Friday. Soy complex May beans $14.50 and a half, the week's high. The low at $13.93 and a quarter. Settlement price at $14.36 and a half, up 27 and three quarters from last Friday. And November beans at $11.90 and a half, up 13 and a quarter cents. Bean meal at $4.68.40, up $12.50, and bean oil at $40.48, finished 54 cents lower on the week. The soft red winter wheat had a high of $7.18 and a quarter and a low at $6.87. The settlement price there at $6.95 and a half, up 2 and a quarter cents for the week. July at $6.99 and a quarter, up 3 and three quarters of a cent. Livestock futures: June live cattle $138.35, $2.22 and a half higher. April, by the way, posted an outside up week in the June live cattle. May feeders at $179.50. The settlement price Friday to Friday $3 higher, and lean hogs at $129.57 and a half, finished 75 cents lower. The April posted a double top. Now here's the weather forecast with True Learner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest this weekend will be generally mixed across a big part of the region. We will expect to see some areas picking up on a little bit of precipitation while others are trying to dry down a bit. The moisture totals with this event will probably run a quarter to three quarters of an inch across that Ohio River Basin area. We'll expect to see everybody else in the Midwest staying relatively dry during this period of time, but another disturbance will likely work its way to the east across the plains and into the western Corn Belt as we move towards the first part of next week. A deepening low-pressure system over Nebraska on Sunday is expected to work its way eastward and northward, and as it does, we'll see a little mini-blizzard starting to evolve across the eastern portions of South Dakota into Minnesota. That storm system will move to the east-northeast end without moving in across the heart of the Midwest. There may be a few showers to get trailed from the cool front that's associated with that low-pressure system as we move into Monday night and Tuesday, but the precipitation totals will be very light across the lower parts of the Midwest. Nevertheless, it's still precipitation that could interfere with some early season farming activity. We'll continue to monitor that period. Another storm system, the one that we've been talking about forever, it seems like, on the 1st and 2nd of April, which is Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, will come into the hard red winter wheat country. It'll bring a little bit of light rainfall to many areas. It's not going to be a very impressive event, though. A lot of dry air will come in behind that system. It'll be very difficult to get any kind of meaningful increase in soil moisture to take place. But that storm system will become better organized as it moves across the heart of the Midwest, and that is expected to occur as we get into Wednesday and Thursday of next week. We could see, again, some significant rains occurring in the Ohio River Basin. Bottom line is we won't be able to get into some of these fields for quite a little while. And we may see some warming take place across portions of the lower Midwest that will raise soil temperatures, but with all the moisture that's going to come, it'll be virtually impossible to get out there and work the fields aggressively. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.